You're listening to the Parking Podcast. Views and opinions are my own.
Hey there, this is Brian Wolf with Parker Technology, a sponsor for the Parking Podcast. Parker Technology is the customer experience solution of choice for the parking industry. Our solution puts a virtual ambassador in every lane to help parking guests pay and get on their way in under a minute. Whether you utilize our customer service team or your team in conjunction with our software platform, or a combination of both, we help you capture revenue, provide better customer service, enable your staff to focus on higher priority tasks, and most importantly, keep your traffic moving. With the Parker Technology solution, you'll also enjoy real-time access to call data and recordings. Learn more at parkertechnology.com/parking podcast and subscribe to our podcast, Harder Than It Looks, Parking Uncovered.
Welcome back to another episode of the Parking Podcast. With us today is Mark Frumar, President of Modi, and also James Emery, Vice President of Customer Success at Modi. How are you gentlemen doing today?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having us, Isaiah.
Yeah, doing fantastic. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we were just talking about it before we hit record. It's like we know everyone. We run in the same circles, but we've never had the chance to meet one-on-one. So thankful for the opportunity and so glad you guys were willing to come on to the podcast, because I've heard great things about Modi. I'm hearing your name everywhere, and I wanted to get you on here to talk about what you guys do. So, but first, let's talk my favorite question. If you've listened to the podcast before, how did you get into the wonderful world of parking?
Yeah, that's always an interesting question to ask somebody in this industry, isn't it? How did you get into parking? Me personally, I didn't even realize that a parking industry existed. I'd never thought about it. My background is in software and digital transformation. You know, grew up in Australia. I moved over to the US 10 years ago with the company that I worked for at the time. It was a partner of Microsoft's. So we used to sell enterprise software. I was based in New York. And, you know, we did well. And then the company was acquired. And when I was looking for a new gig, I was contacted by an old friend who, it turns out, is Modi's original angel investor to help bring what was spot parking at the time over to the US. And that's how I found my way into parking.
Oh, wow. From all the way from Australia. That's mm-hmm. awesome. James, what about you?
Complete accident.
Like most of us.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I originally was born and raised in Massachusetts, and at the last second decided to follow my girlfriend down to Connecticut, who's now my wife, and didn't have a job, so I just applied everywhere, ended up working three jobs at the same time, one of which was a part-time coin collector for the city of New Haven. Yeah, that's how it started. And from there, you know, I was promoted inside the city to a full-time position as a meter technician, moved on to working with IPS Group as their one of their field engineers, and then worked my way up in that company. Was there for about 10 years. I was employee 39, I think, when we started. Mm. From there, I went to the director of parking for a major municipality here in Connecticut. I did that for a few years, and now I'm here at Modi. So it's one of those things where I always say you dip your toe in the parking pond and the monster reaches up and sucks you in.
Yeah. New Haven, was that Paul Wessel? Was he the executive director there at the time, or was he before you got there?
Does that ring a bell? Before I got there, yeah. Jim Travers was the director at the time in New Haven.
Jim Travers. I've worked with him as well. Man, small world. I used to run contracts with the city of Stamford and Danbury and Hartford and a lot of contracts up there. Great people. My boys were born in Springfield, Massachusetts, so it's a special place in my heart. But let's jump into business. So Mark, let's talk all things Modi. Give us the elevator pitch about who Modi is and what Modi does.
All right, who is Modi? Well, we all know how much stakeholder demand on parking, whether it be at the curb or in off-street parking assets, how much demand there is today. You know, it's never been higher. Yet the operators that we work with, they've struggled to match the supply to demand. They've struggled to change their allocations to encourage turnover of their parking assets. So, I mean, they own these assets themselves, but they don't have the insight into the actual demand as well as how they can adjust their supply to meet that demand. And why do they do this? They do it entirely so that they can elevate the experience of their customers while also aiming to earn as much as they can from those parking assets. So what do we do? Well, Modi, we've got a cloud-based platform. It provides a full view of their parking asset inventories. So we digitally map their parking asset inventories for them, both on and off street. We then are able to work with our partner hardware vendors to measure the demand on their actual parking assets. So who's looking to park where and when? And then we have a set of proprietary tools that allow them to make changes, publish them out to the end users in real time. And in doing so, really kind of unlock the earnings potential of those parking assets. And last, I would also say that, you know, overall, our focus is definitely helping operators to optimize the usage of their existing assets rather than simply telling them that they need to buy more.
I love it. And that was my first question, was this on street, off street? So sounds like both. Yeah. And it, you know, I've heard of people trying to do this and it was more after the fact, historical. So it almost sounds like you guys are almost doing this live, like you're getting live data. A manager can log in and see exactly what's going on right then and there, an hour before the Taylor Swift concert to see what they want to do in real time. Is that the case?
It's definitely the case. But what our customers tend to do is to actually use our solution, our administration dashboard, to pre-plan for special events. Mm-hmm. So even though they'll be monitoring them in real time and taking actions, they'll have also pre-planned what the parking setup looks like. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be different to what the status quo is in their area. And then they'll publish that out to the potential attendees that want to come with all of the details for that event, where they can park, how much it costs to park, how they can make a reservation. So in effect, it's a trip planner as well.
Yeah. And that was my question, that it sounds like there's almost like two interfaces, one for the parking user groups, those listening to this podcast, and then one to the end customer who's actually driving. Is that the case? Do they have something that they look at is it the same website that the city's looking at? What does that look like as far as user interfaces?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, if I take a step back, our first foray into this industry, we wanted to guide drivers to the best place to park before they actually left their home. So in the same way that, you know, people are used to using Google Maps or Waze in order to find the best route to actually get to their destination, yep. You know, we thought it was crazy that people still drive to where they're going with the expectation there's going to be a parking space when they get there. And I think everyone would agree that happens maybe one in five times.
Yep.
So we wanted to put together a parking finder solution to link people up with the best place to park according to their unique criteria. And it was only after we started actually working with parking authorities that, you know, we realized how antiquated the way they conduct their operations are. You know, I feel like this is one of the last industries to actually undergo the digital transformation that we've seen in pretty much every other industry to date. So what we have learned since then is that, you know, our customers, typically municipal and campus transportation administrators and operators, they want to reduce the frustration of their customers, but they didn't have the means, right? So In terms of the two interfaces, you know, when we talk about the administrators first, they've typically got upwards of about 10 different systems that they're using, all with their own disparate data. So we build that digital inventory for them, and then we integrate all of the different systems that they're already using in parking and transportation, give them a full view of what's going on in their operations. One thing that we also give them access to is the end user facing parking finder. That's the one that the public actually access. So the great thing about that is, you know, it has, like I say, a status quo of what parking is in the different locations across the week. And we do that down to the level of the individual bay. But the administrators actually have the ability to make changes on the fly, push out notifications, advisories, show people the live conditions and the best place to park in real time. So that value that we can provide to our customers, the administrators, is really about them being able to provide that value to their customers, which is members of the public or their local community.
Wow. And you guys can do that, almost like Waze for parking. You can push out, this lot is full, please, you know, go to another lot or any other information, you guys can send that information in real time, push notifications?
We can absolutely do that. We can set that up to happen automatically based on triggers, or we also have the ability for the operators to make changes, you know, on the fly. So they'll sit in front of a monitor during the times of the special events. And if they want to set a certain location to be shut, they want to suggest drivers to enter via a certain entrance. They can do all of those things and immediately publish it out to the people that are actually coming to the event.
Wow, that's exciting. Yeah. So like you said, based on triggers. So if once a garage hits 92% accuracy, go ahead and tell parkers to pivot and go to a different garage or parking lot, or hey, you see something, a gate breaks in real time, your team could push out a notification saying, hey, use the back entry on this street. Here's the ad. That's so much you can do. And I'm going to go back to a few things you said. I had Donald Shoup on the podcast a few weeks ago, and he was talking with another parking technology provider, and he was saying, try to find an industry that moved as slow with technology than parking, as in for 70 years, we put a nickel in a meter and it didn't change for literally 7 years. Now we're catching up, but you are right that, and thanks to companies like solutions like yours that are catching us up. And then you're right. When I'm one of the one in a five where I would put, if I'm going to see a concert, I would put the stadium in my GPS.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm a big daydreamer. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in front of all these people lined up to get into the venue, stuck in traffic because I didn't put the actual parking location into my map. I went to the right stadium. So I love that as people have more options, have more technology, that they can have the tools to have a better experience. And you know, that's an old adage in parking, the first and last, James knows this one, I'm sure, the first and last impression of a city is the parking. So we want to make that smooth. And yeah,
you know, one of the things that is very paramount in parking is that it's an anxiety driven experience, right? You're worried about, are you going to be able to find parking? How much is it going to be? Where do I have to go to pay? Where's the answer? Like, there are so many questions that you have before you even bother leaving your house. Is it going to be parallel parking? Is it angled parking? Like, even something as simple as that. Tons of people avoid parallel parking, right? Because they just are very comfortable doing it.
And now, does it have EV charging? Yeah,
exactly. Is that EV charger currently available? Is someone charging at that EV charger?
Wow.
We can put all of that information in the palm of your hand in 30 seconds before you walk out the door. And to me, that's half the battle right there, is you already have all of the information you need loaded up into your hand before you've even gotten in your car to head to your destination.
Man, I love that. But I guess my question or challenge is, how do you get the customers to use these tools? So what does Modi do? You have all the data, you have all the answers. Customers can now have a more pleasant experience, but how does the city promote, or how does Modi promote to have end users using this?
The best way to do that, like most things in this industry, is through collaboration, right? So we have a wonderful marketing manager who, as part of our package, comes in with us during the onboarding process, and we bring in any communication department or advisor or consultant that cities, universities, airports, whoever are using to do their own outreach. And we work with them to provide whatever we need, whether it's social media outreach, QR codes. I've done radio interviews, PDF pamphlets. We've helped design move-in pamphlets for students that are coming to universities to show, let them know that the parking finder is available. Honestly, whatever they need is something that we can assist with. And that's not something that we do just during the onboarding process, because we understand that this is a partnership, right? We don't just want to walk away the second that the job has been completed, you know? So what we'll do is, again, when it comes to like move-in time at a university for city or for universities, we'll start having another marketing push, even if that's, you know, 6 months after launch. Come the holiday season, if they want to do some sort of discounted pricing and things like that, we can work with them in a marketing push to do that. If we integrate and we're launching a new feature to provide, you know, real-time utilization at a lot or a garage, it's good to do a marketing push around that too, to say, hey, I know we've invested taxpayer money in this software. Look at us continue to invest in this software to make it better and more powerful for the citizens who want to use it.
And I'll just add to that. One thing that we've found is that consumers respond to convenience, right? If you take a look at Amazon, when Amazon were trying to sell books and they first asked people to give them their credit card details, nobody was used to doing that over the internet. In fact, you know, they'd always been told never give your credit card details to anybody. Mm. As soon as they started telling people we can deliver to your house the next day, people were like, which card do you want? Here's my wallet.
Yeah.
So what we've found is that if you can provide people convenience in the way that they conduct themselves daily, and you might save them 15 minutes a couple of times a week through our solution, as long as it's easy and as long as it's convenient and improving their lives, they're going to come back and use it. But they're not just going to keep coming back and using it. They're going to tell their friends about it as well. So we've found that the word of mouth really helps to spread the usage of the parking finders we've deployed.
Mm, I love that. And I have an example, probably a bad one, but I like to ultra swim. I swim for fun in the Tennessee River, and it's controlled by dams. And sometimes the flow is just throwing me everywhere. Sometimes it's not even moving and it's a long, hard swim. And I can't remember who I was talking to, but they said, I was explaining my frustration. They said, there's actually an app that tells you what the current flow of the river is. It gives you like a score. I was like, wow, this, now I use it every time I go swim. So it's just, yeah. When there's something that can help you, you're going to want to tell people about it through that word of mouth. So that's really awesome. And I have a quick question too. You know, some cities, yeah, they have the on-street meters, but they may have three or four garages, a few lots, but then there's a dozen private lots in the downtown. Have you had any luck with cities collaborating with the private operators to push all that data to Modi so that a customer truly is getting all the options rather than just maybe municipal parking?
Jamie. Yeah, so we have in a couple of different locations, and to me that's part of what is going to be the golden goose, right? Is
yeah.
There's so many different owners and operators, and whether it's city, whether it's private, that are just always kind of separated and work on their own islands, and never really work together to provide an entire parking ecosystem that is intuitive and comfortable for the end users. Right. So what we can do is we can easily, because our parking finder works in a universal environment, we can have one customer, two customers, eight customers, 10 customers in the same area. And the end user using the parking finder is going to be a seamless transition, and they're never going to notice.
Love it.
So yeah. Whether it's private, whether it's public, whether it's city owned, whether it's in the university that's in the downtown core of that city, you're never really going to have a different experience based on that asset.
Yeah.
Now that obviously requires collaboration between us in the city or university and those individual private operators, but they have been very, very receptive.
Well,
due to the fact that
you could be pushing revenue to them. You know, you're showing they're now added to that map, and now it's an option to the customer versus not having that option.
No, you absolutely hit the nail on the head, right? We're not here to pilfer any data or information or revenue from any of these. If anything, we're just enhancing their product or driving people to their asset. And it really is a win for everybody.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break to hear from one of our platinum sponsors. This episode is brought to you by 11X. Take control of your parking with Exact Park, a smart parking solution that provides real-time occupancy monitoring at the stall level and powerful data insights. Exact Park enables drivers to quickly and easily find available parking while helping organizations balance their parking space use, better manage the curbside, reduce congestion, and offer optimized programs and policies for a better parking experience for all. Learn more at 11-x.com. All right, you mentioned, students coming back to campus, universities. So I kept thinking this through municipal prism. That's been my baby through my careers working with cities. But I could see huge benefits to universities and easier probably the word of mouth and getting the customer users by reaching the student population. So yeah, it seems like there's been a lot of traction in the university sector. So I don't know, just talk about that. What's that been like? How does that differ from working with cities? What's been some of the positive momentums with universities?
Yeah, so when we first brought the company over from Australia in 2018, at the time we were known as Spot Parking. And when we first launched in the US, we announced the partnership with the team at Campus Park. It's the private parking administration for the university, for Ohio State University. Shout out to Bob and Sarah at Campus Park. They approached us and they said, look, we get what you're doing and we get the value of this. We need to work with you to adapt it for large scale university campuses. If you think that there's a lot of complexity in the cities that you work with, you wait till we tell you how our daily operations work here on campus. You know, they had upwards of 100,000 people coming, not even just for the games on the weekend, but on a regular day. They got 60,000 students, 36,000 parking spaces on campus. And they said, we need your help. You know, we've got 50 different types of permits. How are we supposed to put all of that on a single PDF map for people to actually see? And working closely with those guys over the course of a year and a half, you know, we ran into a million different obstacles and we were able to overcome them and put together a really effective platform that eliminates the noise and just shows you as the user, whether you're a student or a faculty member or even somebody that's never been and is only coming for the day, where is the best place to park nearby your destination according to the criteria that you've set. So it might be, do you have a permit? It might be, are you looking for free parking or happy to pay for parking? It might be that you're looking for an EV charging station where you can park your car and charge it while you go to the game. What we've found since then is that it's had a dramatic improvement on the ability for the university to communicate with their entire community. They told us that the amount of calls that they were receiving at customer service from people to say they never knew where to park cut down by something like 90%. They said that the amount of citations that they were writing were cut down significantly. And they were nice enough to actually let people know about that. And very quickly, we've grown, you know, we've taken a great foothold in the university market because people are seeing the value of what our platform can do for their campus. With that said, we're not stopping there. You know, since that time, we've been building up our capabilities, both for the municipal sector as well as universities. And we actually have a new version of our product in testing at the moment that we're going to be releasing at the upcoming IPMI.
Just to piggyback on that, my 15-year experience has been mostly on the municipal sector. You know, and I thought it was really interesting. When I was a parking director, I actually got the sales pitch for Modi from Mark. And I remember sitting in my office for about 15 minutes after that sales pitch in silence, just wondering why everybody isn't using software like this. The potential just really astounded me. I mean, even if you look at the economic development growth that a well-managed parking operation can have on a city or a town is huge. Mm-hmm. So just sitting there and understanding, and I didn't have too much of a university background, but after working with Modi for over a year now, it has really, I love parking because of the puzzle.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to learn and understand the intricacies of that university puzzle and how we can support both universities, municipalities, I mean, airports, shipping yard, I mean, you name it. There's so many things that this platform can accomplish to help municipalities and universities. It's just been a blast.
Yeah. What's your business model? How does Modi charge for this?
Yeah. So it's no fee to the end users themselves, the members of the public that are using our parking finders. And that's because it's a service that's provided by the administration from the university or the city.
Yep.
And they pay Modi a first year fee for us to actually digitally map their entire area, as well as to deploy our platform.
And you guys do the mapping and collecting and all that?
We do it all. Yeah. So we've spent years of research and development and a lot of money refining proprietary tools in order to do that initial mapping, because what we need to start by doing is building a digital inventory of their assets.
Mm-hmm.
We build in all of the time dynamic rules against each of the individual bays within their entire area so that it's very easy for them to see remotely who's allowed to park where and when. You know, obviously that's part of the parking finder that we deploy to the end users themselves. But at the same time, that forms the basis or the foundation of the future smart vision that our customers are working towards. And I think that that's always been something that has stood in the way of their future vision, is that everybody's been working towards their smart city vision for some time. Most of them have mapped it out or have some idea in their head.
Yeah.
Some have 100-page reports from consulting firms telling them exactly what to do. The problem to date has been that it's overwhelming. There's so much to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're telling them is, you don't need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to do everything at the same time. We've got a way that we can take your hand and guide you via an incremental approach to actually getting you towards that future vision. You don't need to tell us everything that you want to do up front. Let's start by building that digital inventory, integrating the systems that you already have. Then where we can see where the gaps lie, we can investigate new technology and even help you to trial it on top of our platform and see what kind of effect it has before you commit entirely to that technology.
Mm. And I think I interrupted you. So is it like a software as a service, or how does that work?
That's exactly right. So,
university. Yeah.
So like I said, we deploy a parking finder for every one of our projects, though our administrator tools, they're offered as modules that our customers can pick and choose from. You know, obviously it's a higher fee in the first year in order for us to do that digitization and set everything up. But then after the first year, it's simply a reduced SaaS fee to continue using the platform, as well as to get that 24/7 support from Modi.
Yeah, that's great. And are you guys collecting any data, maybe that a typical parking nuts and bolts guy may not think of, like anything outside of parking, micromobility, anything like that?
Absolutely. The difficult part of travel like that is the last mile, right? When you're talking about some of those micromobilities, whether it's scooters or e-bikes and things like that. So not only can we integrate with like the e-bike stations, and we can put those on the parking finder and also tell you how many are available in real time, but we can report on that data in the back end in our parking intelligence dashboard. And to me, that's where the parking nerd in me really comes out. And I absolutely, because you can start to understand ridership numbers, usage. We can integrate with your shuttle transit providers and show not only in real time where the shuttle is and where the stops are, but as long as the data is available, we can even start ingesting ridership numbers in ridership data. That also goes into enforcement data and understanding, you know, where are you issuing your citations? How many of those citations are you issuing? What types of citations are there? How does that correlate with the way your signage is in that area? So you can start to understand maybe the signage isn't nearly as clear as it should be compared to other areas in the city. So you can start to really get a uniform process down and just understand all of your parking assets as a whole. Yeah. So we've even ingested, we're working to ingest customer service data for a parking department in a city so they can understand how many emails they're getting and phone calls and their average response times to those things and stuff like that. So we have a very flexible dashboard where we can ingest pretty much whatever we need to, as long as we have an endpoint to connect to that company and get that data.
Wow, this is way more than just a parking availability tool. I see why universities are dying at the bits to get you guys into their campuses, because you guys are kind of connecting all those dots. And I see why you're winning some awards, such as Modi was recently a winner of the Sourcewell Curb Management Initiative. Talk about that.
Yeah, sure. So for those listening that don't know, Sourcewell itself, it's a major co-op purchasing agency. They represent about 50,000 public entities across North America, so both the US and Canada. So every now and then they release these really extensive RFPs open to vendors to respond to, and they have a committee set up to review and identify who are the best of the best in this certain part of our sector. The idea being that the ones that are awarded can then offer to the Sourcewell customer base their solution at a discounted rate. But the payoff for companies such as ours is that cities and universities that were interested in purchasing our Modi platform before, but were hamstrung by the rigid procurement rules that we see in the public sector, their entities, their member entities of Sourcewell, and they can now use that pre-vetted contract that we've been awarded, the contract between Modi and Sourcewell that says, yes, we've dotted the I's and crossed the T's on Modi, and we can say that they are a reliable provider in this part of the industry and in parking digitization. So they can now buy from us directly while also receiving a discount because it is a cooperative purchasing agency.
I love it. And I've worked with cities and universities. I know how hard that can be. So it's very nice you guys have that in place. Yeah.
And Isaiah, if you know, to put it in context, based on one of your previous comments, you just said, wow, you guys do so much more. I had no idea about the micromobility and things like that. Now imagine sitting down to write an RFP about a technology or a company like Modi, and you have absolutely no idea what to ask. The technology is so new that even sitting down and writing an RFP for something like what we do is extremely difficult.
Oh yeah.
So being able to lean on experts at Sourcewell to vet the companies that do that and be able to purchase from them just makes the process so much easier for everybody.
Oh man, I love it. What's next for Modi? You mentioned your first contract being Campus Park, Ohio State. IPMI is actually in Columbus, and Modi will be, they'll have a booth there, booth 1449. Make sure you check them out. But outside of IPMI, what else is going on? What's Modi excited for the future?
Yeah, so we're shortly to release the findings from our research study with the University of Texas at Arlington, which is really exciting because we've just received the preliminary results for that. And while I can't tell you exactly the statistics, I can tell you that they found that we have increased parking revenue month to month significantly, while at the same time reducing the amount of citations significantly as well. So we've had a great partnership with those guys. That's testament to the continued research that we do working with their Department of Civil Engineering alongside the transportation team at UTA. And the director of the transport team, Greg Hladik, and I are actually presenting the findings of that study to date at IPMI. So for everybody coming, make sure that you come and check it out.
Oh, great. Yeah, I will be one of those front row to check out the presentation. So how can listeners learn more or follow along with Modi? What's the best place to reach out and connect with you guys?
Yeah. So, for the latest updates, you can follow us on LinkedIn. You can register your interest for our monthly newsletter on our website. Our website's www.modi.co, modi.co. If you'd like to see a demo of our platform, it only takes about 30 minutes to an hour, and you can request a demo via our website. But we are across all different social medias, so look for Modi.
And I definitely recommend the demo because I think once you see it, it'll answer all the questions and show you how they're way more than just parking availability. It's really, really cool stuff. So, thank you, James, for joining the podcast. Thanks, Modi, for partnering with us as a strategic partner. And we're excited to get this episode out. And hope you have a great week. And I'll see you at IPMI.
Thank you so much. It was great to be here.
Thanks, Isaiah. Anytime, buddy. You name the time and place, I'll be there.
Awesome. This episode is brought to you by Pave Mobility. Pave Mobility is the leader in automated parking enforcement. Pave installs fixed LPR cameras at no charge to you or your operation. Pave then captures parkers who did not make a payment or are not on a credential list and sends them a notice in the mail. Learn why so many asset owners and operators are switching over to Pave at pavemobility.com, or you can just message me. I'd love to get involved and personally help with your account. This episode is brought to you by Parkalytics, a company I'm very excited about. Parkalytics uses drones to capture images and then specialized software to perform vehicle counts, utilization reports, and turnover studies. Parking consultants can now perform in-depth parking studies for off-street lots, on-street parking, and vehicular traffic without ever having to leave their home for a fraction of the price of a traditional parking study. Parking operators can use this tool to get accurate parking data to make better decisions on lease management deals. The list goes on and on. But check it out for yourself at parkalytics.com or click the link in the show notes. This episode is brought to you by Amtech. Amtech is an electrical, technologies, and fire safety contractor with offices and teams positioned across the Mid-South. Whether your parking structure needs new electrical panels and EV charger updates, CCTV and parking sensor installations, or inspections of a fire suppression system, Amtech can handle it for you. They bring honesty and a friendly attitude to every job. Learn more at amtech.com. That's Amtech.com. This episode is brought to you by Parking Citation Auditors. And they do exactly what their name says. They will audit your parking citation data and collections methods to provide a review of your citation management performance and give recommendations and best practices on how to improve your citation management and collections process. Look, every city in America with parking enforcement has thousands, if not millions, of unpaid parking ticket debt. It's time to get a handle on your data to better manage your parking citation management vendors and improve your collections percentage to bring more revenue back to your city. And most importantly, this audit is absolutely free. Learn more at parkingcast.com/PCA or click the link in the show notes to learn more. This episode is brought to you by NoiseView Audio Security. NoiseView installs discrete security technology in your parking facilities designed to identify different sounds of importance, such as glass breaking, gunshots, fights, Cadillac converter theft, and more, to notify your security staff immediately. Learn why more and more parking facilities are installing NoiseView to improve their safety at an incredibly low price at www.noiseview.com, and that's view, V-U, or you can click the link in the show notes. Just wanted to drop a quick word that we have some really cool t-shirts and other merch for sale that help support the podcast and make you look really, really cool. Check them out at parkingcast.com/swag or click the link in the show notes.